This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Oh, get excited, Cowboys fans. We got NFL draft around the corner. You got a chance to either make your team better or to melt down and have a fit over the weekend if they pick a Michigan player, which is
What's very possible, Jerry.
That's my point. They got a couple different Michigan players they could pick this year. This is Below the Belt, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Plano, a first-class buying experience. We got a few new mock drafts out there. Mel Kiper has correctly picked the Cowboys a couple different times. Daniel Jeremiah has as well. They both have new mock drafts out. Would you like to start with DJ or Mel Kiper, Sean?
Kiper.
All right, let's go to Mel Kiper.
Mel Kiper Jr.
Mel Kiper's got some interesting stuff happening ahead of the Cowboys. So, number one pick for him, Tennessee Titans, Cam Ward, quarterback, Miami, kind of standard. He thinks the Browns then go with Abdul Carter, and Shador Sanders does not slide. Shador Sanders goes number three to the New York Giants. You get Travis Hunter to the Patriots at four. Number six, Ashton Jeanty gets snatched up by the Las Vegas Raiders. Here's the interesting one, and no one has said this yet. Number nine, the New Orleans Saints select Jackson Dart, quarterback, Ole Miss.
I like it.
There haven't been a ton of mocks that have Jackson Dart in the first round, much less ninth overall.
Yeah.
He says, here's the surprise pick. I know the Saints just restructured Derek Carr's contract to tie him to the team for at least one more season. But what happens after this season? New coach Kellen Moore might want a young quarterback to work with and develop over the course of 25 before turning the offense over to him in 2026. All right, so you get down to the Dallas Cowboys. Pick number 12. You remember who they picked last time?
Micah.
In Mel Kiper's mock.
Oh,
the second running back.
Omarion Hampton from North Carolina.
A sexy pick.
He projects Omarion Hampton, running back, North Carolina. He says, no change on my Cowboys pick projection from my last mock draft.
But Jeanty has gone to the Raiders.
Jeanty is gone. He says, no change on my pick from the last mock draft. Hampton actually firmed up his first-round case at the Combine, running a 4.46 40-yard dash and leaping 10 feet 10 inches in the broad jump. He is a home run hitter who could spark something in this Dallas running game, which has been dormant for the past two campaigns. Cowboys averaged 4 yards per carry over that time, tied for the fourth worst in the league.
By the way, 4 yards per carry is like seems like industry standard, and now it's fourth worst?
Yes.
Yeah, it used to be like the baseline of like, are you a good running back or not? So even after signing Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders to low risk deals, I still think the Cowboys could draft Hampton. He's the kind of difference maker they need at the position. He rushed for 3,164 yards and 30 touchdowns over the past two seasons. And look, if they are going to take a running back, it's going to be a home run hitter. Like they're going to want a long speed, like dynamic type of running back, because Javonte Williams is a bruiser. That's like a bowling ball running back. You know, Miles Sanders is not quite to the level of Javonte Williams in that sense, but I mean, he's also kind of a physical runner. But Omarion Hampton to the Cowboys there at number 12, and that is with Will Campbell, the top offensive lineman in the draft for a lot of people on the board and going to the Dolphins the pick after. That's with Tetaroa McMillan, the top receiver in the draft to me, going 20 to the Broncos.
You would not be happy with that, right?
Nope.
With this?
Nope.
I would take, if Campbell's available,
I would take Will Campbell or Tetaroa McMillan. Will Johnson, cornerback, Michigan. They could use a corner. He would be one of the top players available. Michigan. He was on the board. In fact, over at the 33rd team, Kyle Krabs had his latest mock draft, and he had the Cowboys taking Will Campbell at 12, following them. Which, if that were to happen, if he were to fall to that range, that would be unexpected from what we've seen the last couple months. Will Campbell generally has been thought of as, all right, this is, if not the number one lineman, he's like number two, but that's a top 10 player. He could be gone number four overall to the Patriots. Like, that's the kind of player that he's typically been thought of. And he would be a plug and play, here's your Zach Martin replacement.
I will say this. Oh, so you move him in then?
Yeah, he's got shorter arms. A lot of people think he's a guard at the next level.
All right. The Cowboys, my one hesitation with if they were to pass on him or any offensive lineman is that the Cowboys, I believe, better than anybody else, grade and evaluate offensive linemen in the National Football League. They are the best at it.
They've been really good.
And if they don't think that he is worth the pick, I'm not going to fight them. I'm not going to fight them on it. They've earned that trust, I think.
Okay.
And the only reason why, you know, and with Guyton, I mean, he was like the seventh one taken. Right? They were just at the end of the line.
Was he the seventh lineman taken?
It was a heavy lineman draft last year. Although here's the depth of the class this year. Dane Brugler had said if Tyler Guyton was in this class, he might be the second offensive lineman off the board. Like, he might have been next after Will Campbell. Some people may have viewed him as near the top. And so you're talking about Guyton could have gone in this class with how thin it is, could have gone top 15 instead of 27 or wherever he went.
So is Campbell the offensive lineman that's like 6'3 at a tackle?
No. That's Armand Membu from
he's just got the short arms.
Campbell's got really short arms. A lot of teams just think he's going to be, they think he's going to be a guard kick inside. Now over at Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft, top four are the exact same for Daniel Jeremiah that they are for Mel Kiper. So Cam Ward, Abdul Carter, Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter. After that, fills in a little differently. I mean, he's still got Raiders taking Gentry at 6. But when it gets around to the Cowboys at pick 12, Will Campbell is off the board, the offensive lineman. He's not available to you there. Tet McMillan is the receiver from Arizona, who yesterday ran a 4.48 at 6'5 and 220 pounds or whatever.
Do we believe that?
Yes.
There's no video of it, though, right?
No, but that's his speed. That's the kind of speed that they were anticipating with him. They do take a receiver, the Cowboys, at number 12. So they get their number 2 receiver. It is not Tet McMillan, though, even though he's on the board. It is my third of 3 receivers that I have a first-round grade on this year. It's Matthew Golden, the receiver from Texas. He says, with Ashton Gentry off the board, and this is making me a little ill, I wouldn't rule out North Carolina running back Omarion Hampton landing here, says Daniel Jeremiah. In this case, the Cowboys give CeeDee Lamb a partner who can take the top off the defense and is more than just a speed threat.
Pepe, you started doing some convulsions or something back there when you heard Golden. You're the Longhorn fan. What would you think?
I mean, I'm biased, but I take him, obviously. I don't know where he ranks among the greatest. You know, again, I'm biased. He had a great second half of the season, but for a full season guy, I'm not so sure. I don't think I'd take him first round.
So we haven't talked about Matthew Golden, I don't think, on the maybe G-Bag has mentioned him before, but we haven't talked about Matthew Golden anywhere else, I don't think, on the station. So what I have on him is he is a first-round receiver to me. He was blazing speed at the combine. He ran 4.29. But he's not just it's not just speed with him. He's body control, spatial awareness. Those things consistently stand out. He does have kind of a alpha mentality that you want when you're standing out there on that island and just, all right, it's mano a mano, and I've got to have a certain dog mentality. He's got that. He's got the demeanor to be out there. High ceiling traits as a route runner. The vertical speed's great. The stop start quickness is great. Smooth lateral agility. Hands are fantastic, finishes the catch through contact. So when you look at all that, you're like, okay, well, then what's the problem? Well, he wins on traits. He's not a polished route runner. Like, right now, he's just winning because he's a physical freak. He's fast. He's got great stop-start quickness, all that. There are some concerns, and I know this is one that you always hate to hear thrown out whenever you're talking about a receiver. There are inconsistencies with effort, it feels like, and focus. There are times that when you watch him running routes where maybe he feels like, all right, not going my way, I'm just going to take this off. Or maybe he's a little more lazy in the way that he's running his route. They're going to have to feel good about what kind of a worker is he? What kind of a player can they tap into? Can they get that effort out of him? Can they bring him up a level? Can they do different things like that? If they can, then great. He's going to be a really good player if they can do that. The comp for him I have, and it's not off the field, it's strictly what he was as a player. The player he reminds me of is Henry Ruggs. And so Henry Ruggs obviously now is in prison for something completely different, not yeah. relating to football. But as a player prospect coming out.
Burn. He was the fastest, right?
Yeah, and he was and Ruggs went 12. This is right around where Henry Ruggs went with the Raiders.
I thought you were going to bring up a different Texas Longhorn to the Dallas Cowboys, as Ian Rappaport maybe was hinting at last night on the NFL Network.
This to me says the Cowboys are going to go quarterback in the draft, and I wonder how high are they going to go. Right? Like, I would be surprised at this point if they take a quarterback in the first round. I think everybody would. But what if it's someone like, I don't know, Quinn Ewers in the second round, right? A quarterback who's really talented, who they know well, right? Who might not have to play for a couple years, but in 3 years might end up being someone who's certainly talented enough to be the starting quarterback. How high do they go, right? Because if you're going to wait to the fifth or sixth or seventh round, you don't know what kind of backup quarterback you're getting. And honestly, by then, they may all be gone. This, at least to me, means the Cowboys are considering taking one, if not Thursday, maybe on Friday. And then you're talking about some household names. And then you're talking about some really, really talented quarterbacks. And that, to me, is where it all gets fascinating for the Cowboys. So, yes, Cooper Rush going to the Baltimore Ravens is sort of like somewhat interesting. Where the Cowboys go next and how high they go next at quarterback is going to be intriguing moving forward.
What did he say? If not Thursday?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, did he say if not Thursday for a quarterback?
Play that. Go back to like the last 15 seconds of that.
By the way, Mike Fisher yesterday said that they are targeting
item
Quinn Ewers.
Oh, somebody else
taking
has said
one.
That.
If not Thursday, maybe on Friday, and then you're talking about some household names.
Thursday is the first round of the draft.
I mean, I have a humongous problem if they took Quinn Ewers on Friday, because I don't think Quinn Ewers is good.
So there's a lot of split on Ewers. There are some people who think Ewers is like a second-round quarterback. I know that I've talked to two different evaluators, not in Dallas. One said they thought he was a second-round player, and somebody else said they wouldn't draft him.
Whoa. They normally – this actually would fit their second-round strategy. Because their second-round strategy is a gamble. It's either an injured player,
yeah.
It is an off-the-field
yeah. –
kind of question mark player, or though this.
But Quinn doesn't have either of those.
No, but this will be a gamble in its own. You're just gambling. You're taking a value because the position has the value. The player doesn't necessarily have the value. That's why Jackson Dart is a smart value pick for the Saints or whoever at nine.
He's just a dart.
He literally is a dart.
I can't shake what he just said, because here's the thing. Maybe he's intending to say maybe not Thursday. Like, maybe not. They wouldn't take one Thursday necessarily. But to say if not Thursday, that sounds like, I mean, the earliest it could happen is potentially Thursday.
Right.
In what sense? 12? Like, if Shador slides, are you telling me that? Or are you saying, like, if they trade back into the first round, if they like somebody? Ian's...
Text him.
Ian's got a good... I will. Ian's got a good beat on the... Ian was all over Micah connection way before anybody else was with Dallas. And was on top of that the whole time, said... Watch Micah, watch Micah, watch Micah. Nobody was projecting Micah to the Cowboys before that draft.
Forget the 20 years after. But in 2006, when Rodgers fell to the Packers, were they right in the moment? Did you think they were right to take him? Or
no.
05?
No.
No, but like, I mean, I didn't know how long Favre was going to go. So I get it if they thought Favre was going to be out like in the next year or two. They pushed him out.
Because like he was, everybody had him in their top 10. Like he was a very, very high pick and he just fell for a lot of reasons. And they were like, well, shoot, man, we weren't going to take him, but now we kind of have to. And they set themselves up.
Are you comparing yours to Aaron Rodgers?
No. I'm just saying like, so now let's just say Shador slides.
Right.
And the Cowboys had no plans of taking a quarterback at 12, but
right.
You get a guy that everybody's, thinking higher, 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 and he slides. You may lose the initial deal, but draft pick, but you set yourself up for the next 15 years.
On the fan text, the 641 says Ewers getting drafted in the second round would be nearly as bad as trading Luka away. 817, a Longhorns fan here. I love my Longhorns, but I don't want him as my quarterback for the Cowboys. And the 972 says Jerry will take Ewers just for the jersey sales.
Below the belt on the home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. One more hour to go on a Tolo Tuesday. How are you escaping work for the rest of the week with the madness about to begin? Next on The Fan. But let me go ahead and get you the place to be inside the globe for the start of baseball season. We had the first official game today, and the Texas Rangers are coming your way. The official barbecue of the Texas Rangers is Hurtado. Hurtado proud to serve as that official partner. And I watched John Gray a couple of years ago. Was it last year? I don't know. I get lost in time. I saw John Gray trim a brisket along with Mike Bassick. Josh Young has stopped by. Evan Carter as well. They are making the Arlington spot their place to be. My new one is the Farmers Market location in Dallas. You got Mansfield and you have Fort Worth as well. And two spots inside the globe. Just look for the line and smell that amazing smoke. And just like the Rangers, they're bringing their A game every day, serving up the best Tex-Mex barbecue in DFW. So whether you're catching a game at the ballpark or visiting one of the locations, you're guaranteed a championship-worthy meal. Go taste the difference that earned them all the barbecue honors and join the ranks of the satisfied Tolos. Tell them Sean for the Fan sent you today for lunch or dinner at Hurtado. And skip the line, get in your catering orders as well at HurtadoBBQ.com.